move forward in our dissertation. Take out your document. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix.
The matrix.
Today, let's go to the middle of page 20. Also, take your Bibles, although Nicholson is our designated reader. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Right.
We'll focus on verse 46. But of course, in contextualizing this, we bring it all into focus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, very unique chapter, and many times it is not conversed or ministered except some excerpts of verses from it in the ceremonies of homegoings and eulogies. And this is not a funeral message. This is a living message. This is a daily message. This is not just for occasions, amen, when we get to homegoings and it seems like we go there because we basically have no choice, amen, but to speak of eternity and to speak of spiritual things and speak of those things that transcend the mundane day of just our encounterments that we, from moment to moment, are interfacing. But these words are relevant. These words are certainly germane to every moment that we breathe. For in them we see the workings of God in the midst of chaos, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of doubt, in the midst of fear, in the midst of uncertainty. In the midst of hopelessness, there's hope, there's joy.
Uh-huh.
My God,
sure is.
There's inspiration,
sure is.
In life, in this life,
yes,
but from beyond this life. That is, we look at the things of life, not in the sense of the things that we see, but more in the revelation of what God has said.
That's right. Come on.
And then to this end, life is about what God has said,
yeah,
rather than what we see.
Yeah.
Amen. What we know in truth is what God has revealed to us.
Right.
The revelations of His Word in detail define what life is. Life is not what I see, what I feel, what I engage in. Life is beyond the essence of what I resonate with humanly. But it is the essence what God has designed and He has actualized in His decree, that are placed in time-space frames. As we move, our conscience moves through these frames, amen, there's testimony in each and every last one of them. I want to go back and just go through a couple of definitions this morning before we go forward. Go to the front of your document. Beginning page 3, Those who are watching by way, we welcome you watching by way of the webcast. Amen. In the audio section and as well as the video section, there are icons, links that you can click on, and this document immediately comes up and you can go to it and you can follow it us as we go through our dissertation. The word maze there, it is a network, that is a web, a network, confusion, a so-called entangled disorder. But here, as we look beyond the essence of what I see, and we depend upon what God has said, we come to realize that there is order to the disorder. The disorder was ordered. Amen. Therefore, it is an order. Amen. For purpose. Everybody say for purpose. Next word is measure. An amount, quality, a degree of evaluation. We see the so-called turmoils of life and the things that we encounter. It is always from the vertical, eternal vantage point that we assess things. Never from the horizontal viewpoint. You don't get too much when you look at things horizontally. When you look at them from the vantage point of eternality, it gives a clear picture of what is going on. The next word is the word pole. It is either of two completely opposite, contrasted positions, states of views. There are basically two, heavenly and earthly. They are basically spiritual and physical. The heavenlies, you're speaking spiritual. The earthly, you're talking physical. Amen. Let's go back to page 20. I thought that that it was necessary to bring these ingressions into our context as we go through this. You're in the middle of page 20. Repeat after me. Intervening. Detections. And physicality. Secularity. Measures. The majors. Here we're talking about is we look at this word intervene, and that's broken down in the Greek. That means to come in between, or to be in between, or to situate in between. What becomes between what resides between something? Here, basically, for this context, we're talking about interventions of what is between the spiritual and the physical. Amen. On the one end, the spiritual is the actualized essence of things, whereas the physical is the display of the depictions, I should say, of things according to testimony of purpose. What is between them is the understanding of focusing, of where you're focusing from. If you're focusing and you are standing on a horizontal plane and you're just looking around at life as you see them and as you view things and observe things, it's going to confuse you more than it's going to inform you. It's going to frighten you more than it will give you any confidence. Amen. When you're looking from that vantage point of standing on the horizontal plane it basically raises more questions than it answers. Amen. And of course, the more we don't know, the more we fear. On the other hand, the more we know, the less we fear. Amen. All right, let's go to the Word of God first as we look into the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. We note basically in this chapter, Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he expressed many, many, many things. And what will help us is to first realize that he speaks both from the spiritual vantage point, and also he speaks from the physical, worldly, or earthly vantage point. When you're speaking from the earthly, physical vantage point, you are dealing with things strictly from the horizontal end of what is displayed or what is seen. Amen. Very unreliable arena. I think we were dealing with that in Sunday school this morning, weren't we, Brother Deacon? Very unreliable to just look at life and assess life and dwell in life and construe life from within what we call life. When I say life, what we call life is not really life, but it's a life most people they think of what we are dealing with every day, what we are interfacing with every day, the things that are around me, things that I can taste, touch, and physically handle and deal with, the daily occurrences that are around me. Amen. That's life. Amen. But the essence of when this is really, 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 really viewed from eternality, we see it basically for what it is. It's manifested purpose. It's manifested purpose. A testimony. Amen. Your life is your life in Christ. Your life is Christ. Your life is in the realm of eternality rather than time. Amen. But here he deals with the entire gamut of life on earth, but it is strictly from the testimony from the eternal view of revealed truth, revealed knowledge. Amen. This is why the volume of truth, the grace covenant, is called the mystery. It is, amen. It's, that is the nomenclature that is used. Amen. But the mystery is not a mystery. It's of course, it is a mystery to many of God's people. Amen. But it is the revealed truth. It is the revealed truth of that which was hid for ages and now to selected ones of the body of Christ, whom God has prearranged and pre-caused and predetermined to know, we receive the essence of how things are rather than just how they appear. And so it is from this vantage point that we view. Let's look at verse 46. Elder, in fact, just read that one verse. Time is really moving this morning. And I do want certain things I do want to try to cover. Everyone, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read or read. First from the King James, and then from the Greek. Now, as we look at this, again, it's going to seem like there are some things that are contradictory here from what we preach, but Paul is expressing what he is, his expressions here are from the physical view of how things seem to be in the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Versus the essence of that which precedes the matrix.
Right.
All right?
Okay, man.
Got it? Let's read.
Howbeit,
call your scripture.
First Corinthians 15:46.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual,
mm-hmm.
but that which is natural,
mm-hmm.
and afterward that which is spiritual.
It seems contradictory, doesn't it? To say here that the natural is first before the spiritual. That's like walking up in the middle of a conversation and you pull out one verse, because some of the other verses verse 45, the after sin verse, said Adam was first. The first man, Adam. And then after that came the spiritual man, which is Christ. But we know that Adam was not before Christ, right? Of course, when we read, go through chronologically the Bible, yes, it says that Adam was the first man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that would make Christ the second man. Christ would follow.
Hmm? Yeah.
But because Jesus testifies himself, what did he say? He said, before Abraham, I mean, and that you could say Adam too, all of them. He said, before they was, I what?
Damn,
I am. Man. Now, here what you have to come to understand through revelation is that Jesus is God.
Come on.
And you said, Christ, you're talking about the God of your salvation.
Absolutely.
And also, that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, speaking of the spiritual blessings, where are they located? In the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
The heavenlies are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The heavenlies are in Christ.
Yes.
In verse 4, it says that we were chosen in him when?
Before.
Before what?
Creation.
Before creation. Before Adam.
Right.
And so for us to be placed in Christ, or chosen in Christ, Christ would have to be first. So what he's doing here, he's dealing with things as they are seen in the earthly view. And we go to the Greek here, it actually, when we exegete in the Greek, it clears it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Read that 46th verse, Elder, from the Greek text. Follow along.
1 Corinthians 15:46 from the Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
But not first the spiritual body, but the natural, afterward the spiritual.
Now, you notice what's missing in there. Now, look basically how this reads. Indulge me a second here. Proton to... As it reads here, you look here, you see the arrangements here. That word proton is firstly. It really didn't say first, it says firstly. And so when you say, ooh, proton, it's not basically saying not first, but he's saying not firstly. Look at that real closely.
Praise Jesus.
So it reads here all uproton to pneumatikon.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
That body shouldn't that he got that. I'm glad he got that in Corinthians. You throw this out.
Amen.
Amen. reads, all two, Fikikon, all two, Sikikon, which translates, but the natural. Now go back there, you see the word, follow me closely. Proton is firstly. But you know what's missing in the phrase? There are no verbs. What's a verb? Verb is an action. Action for the purpose of positioning. And what he is conveying here is that from the vantage point of what's in the matrix, it seems like that the spiritual is not first or firstly. And this is what trips us up.
Yeah.
Because when you think like that, then the only thing that really is is what's before you. What you're handling, what you're dealing with. We sort of block out the spiritual.
Right.
You know how it is. Sometimes we get in so much trouble. We can get bogged down into so many different things until we end up doing what? We forget about God. I'm in trouble. I'm struggling and I'm trying to get out of this. And if I said Jesus, it's a cliche. He said, "Ooh, Jesus." Not really thinking about Jesus. not really. I'm trying to figure out how to deal with this thing.
Come on, fam.
Something is broke. I'm trying to fix it. And right now, I don't have time for Jesus. I got to do it.
Right.
Because from the matrix, it looks like that the physical is in first place and the spiritual is secondarily. Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Come on. Amen.
But it's just the opposite. Now, what throws things into perspective, as we go back to that verse and we exegete from the manuscripts, we have the Greek word epita, which is translated afterwards of that which moves in a sequential order. Again, listen. When you're into spirituality, you're out of time-based operation.
Hallelujah.
God is timeless. Everybody say God is timeless.
God is timeless.
Amen. So we don't look at things in that sequentialness of order.
Right.
What this is conveying to us is the essence of placing things in the order of creation. Not in the order of manifestation. Who was first? Christ or Adam?
Christ.
Let me put this another way. Who was first? You in the body of Christ or you in this body?
In the body of Christ.
More people said in this body. When I die and I'm no longer in this body, did I get a new body? This is what that we were taught.
Yes.
Follow what this is conveying here is placing the order, the spiritual. The spiritual is before the physical.
Yeah.
You are who you are because of who you were.
Amen.
And the essence of who you are It's the essence of who you are in the body of Christ.
Amen.
You are more who you are in the body of Christ than who you are in these bodies. Who you are in the body of Christ is eternal. It's forever.
Yes.
Who you are in these bodies is but a short, quick time. It is this lack of understanding that causes us to the trepidations that we daily go through. Yes, you can be happy in the midst of your greatest challenge. The most diverse thing in your life, amen. I should work for you instead of against you. Sometimes we are crying when we should be rejoicing. Sometimes we are forlorn when we should be overjoyed. Simply because of how we view the physical before the spiritual. Which causes us to prioritize things in the reverse order of that which they really are. I said, preacher, you way out there talking. No. How are we going to look at life? Is life totally my endeavors from moment to moment? Or is life complete? In Christ. I think of the late Mother Goodloe Johnson. As I expressed to the Sunday school this morning, how the testimony which is in the book that will be coming out this summer, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will, she's laying up in the hospital and about to go through a very massive operation. And all the indicators show that she was calm. Mm-hmm. All her vitals, which I read up on the screen, didn't give any indication of anyone in any trepidation. Mm-hmm. And so I said to her mother, I said, you seem mighty calm. And she said, Pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, didn't you teach us that everything's already done? I said, yes, Mother. She said, why should I be laying here worried about something that's already done? And that really was one of the highlights of as God brought that testimony to me as it relates to that which we have been ministering. The spiritual first before the natural. When you view this thing from eternality, you see everything already accomplished and stabilized, complete, unchangeable. Versus the moment by moment, up and down roller coaster rides of this life. Of not knowing where we're going. There's a difference. There's a big difference. This is about lives, not the fact that we're born and then we are raised in the family and then we go to school and then we finish and then we get a career or a job or we get some occupation, task, or whatever it may be. Amen. And we get married and we have children and then amen, we grow old and then we out of here. No, life is more than that. That's all in the matrix. But what's not in the matrix is that long before the matrix, the God of your salvation, for his purpose, and that which pleased him, he willed, he decreed. Oh my God, he said it, and it came into being, the essence of everything about you. Amen. And the first is not the last, but the last is first. And you say, "Ooh, preacher, you confused me now." No, no. What he said is the essence of what it is. Verse is the sequential order of manifestations. The moment by moment tidbits that are conscious gamma as it moves through these time space frames. As we move through these testimonials, the combination that is the end, the results of all things already declared and stabilized in eternality. Let's go to our document. Intervening detections in physicality, secularity measures the matrix. Everybody got this, amen. Increasingly, overrising perception of infantile pretenses emerges in off manifestations. Well, preacher, what are you saying there? What's infantile? That is something that is undeveloped. It's an infant, which basically, sequentially, is the beginning of what a thing is going to manifestly be. We said the infantile stage. That's the beginning. In testimonial, you don't get much information there, do you? No, you don't. You don't. It is complete in actualization. It is initialized and in the beginning stage of manifestation. And here we say pretenses, infantile pretenses. We're saying that what that thing pretends to be, because it is undeveloped, is not what it's to be. For instance, when you bake something or cook something, let's say bake something, you start off with what? You start off with the dough. Is that the end or beginning? Everybody would say that's the beginning. Because most of us are not about to sit down and eat some dough. But there's some other ingredients that's to be added. Then there's a process of how these ingredients are meted out in measures, and then as it comes together, then it goes through the fire. These are the colors of life. Y'all don't hear me this morning. But it must go through there to get to the end and the results of what you sit down and enjoy. These are the processes of life.
That's right.
It is not an end within itself. It is the beginning of processes moving towards an end. Each day as we go through our lives and we deal with the different things that occur, we don't get locked into the essence of what it is at that moment. We get look at what opinions at that moment and said, that's it. It's moving through a process. Here's when we get messed up. We look at the process as an end within itself. Amen. And the process, amen, is on just a component of testimony. The end of it is the purpose. The purpose moves the process, not the process, the purpose. This is why we say, as they emerge in that first line, in manifestations, in our minds, they shouldn't be the overriding perspective of things. It's just a component that depicts the beginning. An initial thing. Some problem pops up. And that thing wears you out. Because you think that's the end within itself. That's only the beginning. Of that which has to go through a process. A process that's driven by purpose. Our problem is we have no confidence in the purpose of God. The other day, I got the call concerning mother. Immediately, said we have in petition two components. We have a component where God has given us the privilege to petition. According to our desires. But the chief petition, the choice petition, is according to what he wants. So we pray, we ask God according to our wishes and desires, but we never close that prayer. Or it is an incomplete prayer, amen, if we don't say what?
Lord.
Your what? Your will is done. It's already done. And so, our prayers were answered. Our prayers were answered. And the answer is, my will is done. In that frame, my will is done. But that's not what I wanted. Life is not about what we want. That's not what I prayed. Well, whatever that thing came out is what you should have prayed. Because it came out according to God's will. Well, that wasn't God's will. Well, then how did it happen? The occurrence was set from eternity.
Indeed.
When your conscience gets to that particular frame of space and time, space-time, that's what was there from eternity.
That's right.
Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane gave us, we look corroboratively in the Kingdom Gospel.
Amen.
Said what? Wow. If it's possible, this cup is passed. But how be it what?
Not my will.
Not my will, but of course Jesus is God, but that was an example for us.
Mm-hmm.
Your will is done. Because you know what? The manifestation has to follow the decree.
Amen.
Spiritual first.
Amen.
Decree.
Mm-hmm.
Manifestation second.
That's right.
What he said comes first. What we see comes second.
Amen.
we're looking into the matrix and we're addressing things face value on what we see. Let's look at this second line. Misperceptions in this sphere, that is in the matrix, promote material exposures, hacking legendarily into off representations of reality when convened in compartments of human appraisal screens. What we're saying is basically, we're looking at that thing and we're calling it what it is based upon what we see. That's a misperception of what it is. What it is what God has decreed. And so we go to the will of God in all things.
Amen.
Now, this all starts at salvation. Whatever you think about salvation will translate down into your daily moment-to-moment appraisal assessment of things. It is how we assess salvation that determines how we assess life, or what we call life on earth. If it's all about me, or if it's me in partnership with God accomplishing something, I'm going to bring that right down in life. Now you got two partners. One of them pretty well stabilized, and the other one's kind of shaky. I think that makes the deal shaky. Because one of the partners is shaky. And so if you're partner with God, who's the shaky partner? I am. And so no wonder I'm nervous about everything. Huh?
Amen.
Since nobody wants to talk about it, I know myself.
Amen.
I know what my shortcomings are, my inabilities are, my proneness to make dumb moves, to do dumb things, and to misperceive and misconstrue things. And I'm depending upon me to put my two cents in with God. Something's wrong with that picture. And what is wrong is me. Not God. And salvation is all about Him. Salvation is a total work of God. From the beginning, actualized by His decree. In eternity, before I ever came on the scene of time. Amen. It was already worked on. Oh, we could take that thing down into life. Then we could do like Mother Goodlow Johnson and say, hey, no use to worrying about something that's already done. Unless you don't trust what God has done. Amen. And that's another problem we have. Do you really, 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 has God, amen, placed within you that trust of Him? You know the man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In corroboration.
Amen.
Part of that process is the information that we get through God's Word. What we are receiving through revelation of His Word stabilizes us. Amen. And it brings us into the essence of eternal viewing of what's first and what's last. Because what is, and what comes on the scene has no effect on what is. What comes on the scene is strictly testimony for purpose of God working out certain things testimony-wise. But what is. But do you trust what is? But it starts with salvation.
Amen.
If you don't trust God with your salvation, how can you trust Him with your bills? Or your health? Or anything else? I mean, what is more important? Your salvation or your healing? Somebody said, well, your salvation is about eternal relationship.
Amen.
Your daily encounters are all temporary. What does temporary mean?
Not long.
So what is first? And what is second? What is. But God help us to trust what is. Cause us to believe what is.
Yes.
What is what's in this decree.
Amen.
It starts with our assessment of eternal living.
Amen.
Because the lives that we live now, the day to day, is passing.
It is.
It's passing. Let's get through this paragraph. Physical, secular, deceptive depictions drawn and then eventually collapse in processions of non-deified explorations. Pictures that pop up and things, no matter what you're doing with it, that thing basically will run its course.
Yes, indeed.
And then it will disappear like vapor, whatever it is. Even a problem. How many problems you've had and you thought that thing was going to kill you? And then it just disappeared. So how did you solve it? I don't know. Well, I know. You didn't solve it. It was really never a problem. Just like your salvation was never a problem.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, preacher.
Hallelujah.
They taught us that, our problem was that we were lost and then da-da-da-da. That's in testimony. That's in depiction as we're dealing with here now of how we view things in the matrix. How can you be lost in time if you were saved in eternity? How could you even be in jeopardy of being lost in time if you were saved in eternity? Of course, that's not what they teach us. They teach that we were lost and then, on maybe some whim, you got saved. You did something. And if that hadn't happened, boy, I'd still be out there in the world. So now we take that right down to life, If I had done this, that wouldn't have happened. I had to, on one occasion, to minister to someone who basically... they were taking responsibility for their loved one's death. I mean in a passive sense. And they were saying, if I had done this, they would still be alive. I said, no, you don't. Death is an appointment. We are appointed to, in Hebrews, we are appointed to die. What does an appointment have? It has a time and a place. Whatever you do in life. So, well, if I had done this, that would happen. So now we live life as though things are contingent. But because that's the way we treat a salvation. Then we sing songs, if you live right, heaven belongs to you. If you live right. If you live right. If you pray right. If you pray right. Again, now we partner with God, and one of the partners is shaky. If I had any part in it, I could forget about heaven.
Yes, Lord. Come on, Pastor. Preach it. Preach it.
Our eternal relations.
Right.
Yes, He saved you before He manifestly made you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not Adam and then Christ. It's Christ and then Adam. Finish this paragraph. Now this is where our problem is. We want to take some credit because we basically of ourselves one of the extreme flaws of the Trinity is pride. We want to have the satisfaction that we did something. We accomplished something. Give me about 5 more minutes here. Human satisfaction is unremitting in its search for exacting what is visibly observed, even though such visions are never able to confirm specifics of the hunting question. What is the matrix? What is this? What's going on here? Another question? Something's on the horizon. Another question? Something's happening, but what? That's what happens when we operate in that vein. Yeah. Matrix thinking says, what is this? Scripture viewing says, what this is for. Now this acknowledgement occupies intelligence insofar as at least exhibiting uncertainty of what is, that is, the something is. Even though everyone is looking for answers, one in these cosmetics, it must be admitted that none even know the proper question. Not only do I don't know the answer, I don't know the proper question. This is why in the Old Testament it says, lean not what? To your own understanding. Acknowledge him and what? He directs your path. So here, you're going to wrestle with life, you know, like Jacob wrestled with angel, you know, we get. Oh my God. God help us.
Jesus.
Give us comprehension.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Of the essence of what things are.
Yes.
And you can only know what things are from the standpoint of scripture, eternal viewing, rather than physical matrix observations. So I'm going to trust in God and what he has done. First in salvation, and I'm going to take that down in life. God's people, many of God's people, basket cases this morning. And this is how we have to view life. And then when we view life that way, we see death as only a part of life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That is the separation of the physical. It's only a component of physicality.
Come on here.
Because when you view it from spirituality, separation is out of the question. That's not a question we ask.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Nothing can separate you from him. Nothing can separate you from the life that really counts. That is the life of Christ. Nothing can separate you. It's impossible. So we have to look into the essence of his word. It's, repeat this, it's in the saying, not the seeing. What God is saying, not what I see. I think I see. Most of the protagonists, that is the leaders, one that espouses the cause of what things mostly our thoughts are shaped by what some theologian or some philosophers say.
Yes,
many of the principles that we live by and think can be traced back to the philosopher Kant.
Jesus.
Right?
Amen.
The principles are some theologian.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Edwards.
Oh, yes.
I'm just calling some names.
Oh, yes.
John Wesley.
Sure.
You know, the Lord helped those that what?
Help themselves.
In fact, I had somebody say to me one time, you know, the Bible says, wait, hold it. Show me where that is in any of the covenants in the Bible. Because if I help myself, then I don't need God to come. He's going to help me if I help myself. No. Most of them are so involved. We're in here today. Most of the protagonists are too involved in acclimating, that is, adjusting, to even pause long enough to wonder or dream harder. In other words, how are they going to tell you what it is when they're trying to figure out what it is themselves?
Amen.
They're trying to adjust to what is happening. And at the same time, they're telling you what is happening while they're adjusting to what is happening. Come on now. Everybody said my life is about him.
My life is about him.
We'll stop here today, but we'll come back and hope to finish this before we recess for the summer. But the essence of our life is not in what we observe, but in what God has done. And he's a perfect planner. God is a perfect planner. There are no flaws in God's plans. Well, the person I prayed that they live and they died. Well, your prayer should have been God's will is done. Because our life is not about what we want. Our life is about what he has done. Life can be a beautiful life of joy and peace in the essence of dwelling in his agenda and his will.
Oh, yes.
And now we can pick up the intervening detections in the matrix that tells us, amen, that God has ordered and that God, amen, has laid out and that God has situated and that God, amen, is moving through. And when we understand this, the trials of life, amen, and the tests of life, amen, are coupled with the essence of our knowledge, amen, that he, my God, it's a God, amen, who does everything well. And when I get into space, I know that we can make joy for the night, for joy. Can you say joy? Can you say joy? Joy comes in the morning. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he? Well, give him a praise. Isn't he magnificent? Isn't he great? Give him a praise. Give him a praise.